Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5 Tools.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5 Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with Coach Mel Taylor today. And we are talking NBA basketball. We talking basketball. You know that basketball. What was your favorite basketball rap song where they rapped about basketball? We had Heart of a Champion. That's mine, Nelly's. Like, it's the heart of a champion. Using that NBA theme song. I don't know why NBC hasn't brought that back. It's so popular online. Like, people always reminisce about it. It was the most iconic NBA like sound entrance by far.
By far. I always wondered. I mean, you know, change is good. I guess evolution is good. You want to just bring in a new level of.
Yeah, but this generation is all about nostalgia.
We are. Like, us being millennial, I mean, I guess we can't speak that way anymore.
Oh, you mean the generation that's been through two recessions, a couple wars, all this social outcry, doesn't retreat back into their adolescent stages for comfort? What? No way.
No way. Absolutely not.
Yo, Hannah Storm, though, she's...
Oh, my gosh. First of all, let's be real, you know what I'm saying? Rachel Nichols, she has to get back on TV.
I was livid. So what if Jimmy and her got together? Good for them. What does it matter?
That wasn't even a thought. I even thought the...
I'm just jealous of Jimmy.
Very, very much so. 2,000%. Also, I hope Fox picks her up. Like, somebody needs to pick her up. She has a
For at least a year because once you get tied in some racial stuff, even though it didn't even seem racial. If anything, it just seemed callous.
I don't think it was callous. Callous towards the network.
What the press agent said, LeBron's press agent that she was involved with, that was callous. Mm-hmm. What she said was definitely callous. It was just flippant. It was marginalizing something important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely.
What was your favorite NBA song? So we got that. We got what was Lil Bow Wow's?
He redid Curtis Blow song, but he did it for Like Mike. Yeah. I can't remember the tune. I want to embarrass myself.
It's my favorite sport. And then what was that Aaron Carter one where he played Shaq one-on-one?
Yeah, I don't remember that song. I really don't. And it's sad because I usually do remember all corny songs, so I actually feel sad about that. I'm trying to remember real basketball. I can't think of it.
Blow the Whistle a basketball song because the music video? Because if it was Blow the Whistle is the best one.
That one Master P song might be a basketball song.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he was a basketball player, so maybe so.
Yeah. He's actually very delusional. Very delusional about his basketball playing.
You kind of have to be delusional when you're trying to make delusional amounts of money on stuff.
That's facts. All respect to the great Master P.
Made me say. I think it's Heart of a Champion though, right?
Now,
if Blow the Whistle, the music video, he's at a basketball game, right?
At the end of the day, it's Curtis Blow.
Yeah, that's true.
This song is just about basketball.
Basketball, it's my favorite sport. I like the way they dribble up and down the court.
My dad loves that song. Shout out to my pops.
Your dad's got swag.
Pops love
it. There's one I'm missing. I know there's one I'm missing.
Yeah, man. I can't.
Whatever.
We'll move on. I can't think of no.
You know who should concentrate more on basketball like us? Tristan Thompson.
Yes, Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson. Break us down what happened with Tristan Thompson.
Yo, oh my God. So the Tristan Thompson story, the scandal, apparently he got this woman, Marley. Is it Marley Nichols? Like a personal trainer out in Houston. Got her pregnant. You know, welcome to baby boy. Congratulations. December 2nd. But again, it's a surprise to everyone. Not Tristan, apparently, because apparently he was... trying to bribe her not to tell. Actually, I think actually bribe her to have an abortion. $75,000 is worth an abortion.
That. Yeah, yes. That's the standard going rate.
That's the standard going rate for an abortion. Also, in the letter, I don't even want to like read the letter out or the text messages if I can even find it.
Oh, please do.
Can we read it?
Yeah.
No, I'll read this. Yes, I'll read this joint. So. This guy says, so for everyone listening, he said, you know how I feel. My feelings haven't changed at all. Won't be involved at all. By the way, if you think having this baby is going to make you some money, it's completely wrong. You are aware that I'm retiring after this season. So in terms of support, it will be whatever is required monthly for someone who's unemployed. It's taxes, so it will be only a couple hundred dollars. So you better off taking the $75,000 I'm offering, because you won't get nothing near that with having a kid with a father who's unemployed. All you will have is a baby with a father who has zero involvement with the child and a few hundred dollars of child support a month. And that is what he texted this woman to try to convince her to have an abortion.
It's a solid argument. He's like, yo, I don't want this baby so bad. I'm going to nuke my income.
Yes.
I'm going to go jobless.
He's really about to retire so you don't have to pay her.
Well, to be real, I thought he's been retired for like 2 years. Every time I see him on the court, I'm like, oh, yeah, Tristan Thompson's still playing.
Well, he tried to get to L.A.
Tried. And L.A. was like, nah, we're good. We've had enough people try to get here.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
Now here's my thing.
He's a dying breed, honestly.
I'm flipping script here, man. I don't think necessarily that it's the Kardashians that ruin these men. I think I'm the first to come out, like, you know how that's the underlying thing where it's like the Kardashians ruin franchises and ruin these great players? I actually think it's the other way around. I think the Kardashians are attracted to toxic NBA players. Because every single one of the people, now that more and more comes out, like Tristan at first, was like, oh, he's the nice guy. And then it turns out, no, Tristan's just like a womanizer. He's trying to get like fat girl threesomes at the club while his baby mama's.
Well, let's say this. It's twofold. Because one, you're absolutely right. Every man they've been with, except for Chris Humphries, God bless Chris Humphries.
Now, Chris Humphries showed some toxic stuff later on too, didn't he?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, let's pin that. We'll do some real deep diving into that.
Devin Booker seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he does. But do the Jenners count?
Yeah, Jenners count. What's her name? Dated Ben Simmons.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it counts. Yeah, it totally counts. Oh, I'm sorry. Back to the point, though. Your greater point is, yes, these men are toxic, but I will also say in every relationship, the women are more, they're more or less than the victim. You know what I'm saying? They're never the worst person in the situation.
Kanye West
is bipolar.
Yeah.
Black China is Black China. Lamar Odom's a crackhead. These individuals have real issues. So I actually commend these women.
James Harden's like the Big Lebowski of the NBA. Yo, is James Harden not the Big Lebowski of the NBA? He just goes to strip clubs. Can I be real though?
Like, I love everything about James Harden. I think James Harden is everything that a hoop star is. Because I really feel like this generation of basketball players are really just gym rats.
Yeah.
For like the most part, every basketball player is a gym rat. They're saying they clock in like a job.
I got you. Colin Cowherd was talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
And this is real. This is real. I agree with this 100%. He said that a lot of NBA players, there's not – the guys that we're falling in love with are the original guys. the guys that had to go outside the box to make it in the league. That's why we love all these European dudes and dudes from overseas that had to find a different way, because all the American players are going to the same AAU camps, yep. the same shooting coaches, yeah. the same dribbling drills. Yeah. They're all clones, all perfect yes. form, and yes. it's made the game much better percentage-wise. But it has taken some of the personality out of the game. That's why we love players like Draymond Green. Yep. That's why we love players like Lance Stephenson. Like, Lance Stephenson hasn't played in the NBA in 4 years, but he's still probably like a top 20 most talked about player online.
Yeah, he's a great. He's definitely somebody who's trendy. He's a trendy type player.
Yeah.
Me personally, you see their personalities. Like, I think I'm more compared to the. I look at basketball through tiers or rather levels. Like, for instance, I look at this is the Kobe school of player. This is the LeBron school of player. When I look at the players that way, and then I look at their prototype, that's the word I'm looking for, the prototype of those players, and I also kind of more or less look at their personality with that playing style. Like, I look at Luka Doncic. He's more of a LeBron, Magic Johnson tier or level.
Little Larry, style. Too.
But guess what? Larry, that's why Larry, and people think I'm weird for saying it, but Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, the reason why they're the same coin, different sides of the same coin, and I think they're the same exact player for their leadership style. Now, granted, one was a much better passer than the other. One was much more of a
Larry
better
was slept on for
passing. No. But my point is, they all, and then guess what? Magic Johnson was also slept on for what?
For scoring.
Scoring.
Yeah. Magic averaged like 25 a game.
He did. Now, if his career was 19, but if he wanted to, he could score. He could have been LeBron if he wanted to.
Yo, of Magic course, Johnson yeah. stepped in for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, yeah. injured in the finals,
yeah,
like, as a center his 42, rookie year.
42-15-7?
42-15-7.
Yeah, man.
Played center. He did not play yes. guard.
Yeah.
Then he moved to point guard. He yes. went from center to point guard. We've yes. never seen that before.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen that nowadays. Except yeah, Jokic. Yeah, Jokic is the closest thing we've ever seen, and he's that's the opposite Magic, way yeah. of Magic.
He's a little slower.
Yeah.
A lot slower. Sorry, Magic. Yeah, and honestly, I was telling you the other day, Magic's like ranked 13 on my all-time list. A lot of people, I think that's really weird.
Jokic just looks like a farmer out there running around with everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah, he looks just like that. That's a good comparison. Long of his brothers on the side just waiting for him to put something to pop off.
In the camo sweats.
I love it.
I'll never mess with somebody wearing camo sweats because you know that.
Yeah. Probably the most slept on top seven player in history.
Jokic?
He might be a top five. I'm talking about current top fives in history. He's the most slept on top five.
I thought
five.
You were saying all time. Yes.
No. He's the most slept on, like, in any generation of top five.
I mean,
five.
Let's be
he's
real. The At the end of the day, he's going to be, like, a top 25 player. He won an MVP. Yeah. And I think he wins the championship in the next 3 years. When Murray comes back, yeah. free agent will come there. Something will happen.
Yeah, that's why I say from generations going forward, whoever wins – like, you know, whoever three-peats or even double-peats, they're one of the best teams that ever played. Because I think
Giannis wins another championship. He's top 10.
He's right? top 10. He has to be top 10. Because
we've never seen stats like this. It's like KG on steroids.
Fam, and it's not even just that. It's also the competition. People, like, they don't think about the competition. This is the most parity the NBA's ever seen in its history. It is on par with the NFL as far as with parity, mm-hmm. unpredictability.
Well, that's we didn't realize what the infrastructure thing would be with youth training. Some of these guys, like the average mean has gone up so far for talent per player that you're going to see a lot of like the superstars are what set teams apart. Where a lot of these teams are just turning out to be 500 teams because they can do the basics so well. You have to have a guy that can take over a game. You know what I mean? And how many players can take over a game in the NBA? Maybe 15? Maybe? And maybe 7 consistently?
That's another discussion for another day. I'm pin
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because, we should pin that right there.
No,
right.
Because I actually think every team has a closer.
Oh, yeah. Everyone has the position filled, but doesn't mean that they're, like, good.
So let's just say there's 30 teams. I could make an argument there are 20 elite.
There's a difference between a closer and someone who could controls the game, like can change the game.
Like for instance, Chicago literally has two closers.
Yeah, Levine and DeRozan, correct.
Boom. On the Lakers, they have legit three closers.
No.
You going to say two or just one?
It's one.
You just going to say just LeBron?
Yeah. AD's not gonna make his own shot in the final minute.
So that, again, we'll table this talk because I actually think that AD is a closer.
He's capable. Agree. He's capable. He has the talent, but he's not. You want to know why? Because he's soft.
Oh,
I love Anthony Davis.
Pin.
I don't think
he's soft. I think he's fragile.
He's a little soft.
Again, discussion for another day. Obviously, the Bucks have two. Because people like to say Giannis isn't a closer, but he's a closer. I don't care what nobody said. He's a closer.
Giannis, he's not a closer for, like, a final shot, but the way he – that block, that was a game-closing block, so I'll give you that game-closing defense. That's a different way of being a closer.
No, I think he can, like, drive in the lane. I think his post moves this year, I think that's another thing, and we'll discuss that more about Giannis. I think this year he's
getting
better.
I got to see Giannis start hitting end-of-game shots before I give him that.
He's hitting, like, the best – he's, like, over 30% threes.
Yeah, that's fine. That's not ending game.
Also, he's posting up more. A lot of more post-up play. A lot more hook shots.
You're not concentrating your argument here. I want to see end-of-game stats. That's what I want to see. You're talking about closers. I want to see end-of-game stats.
Again.
But in my head, I see that block over and over and over and over again. Last year, when in the finals, that was one of the most clutch blocks of all time. That was the best block we've seen since Bam Adebayo blocked Jason Tatum in the playoffs.
I think that, and that's why I put Giannis in the kind of school, in the tier or the school of a Bill Russell. I always say that because the way he blocks.
A freakish athlete, yeah.
Athlete with just super intelligence because even within that block.
The category of dropping a 10-year-old into a pen full of babies.
Yes, I love, and please keep saying that. Like, say it, and explain to the viewers what that means. No, seriously, let's follow this.
Just like, there's different levels.
We're talking about Bill Russell. In the 50s, 60s, well, I'm sorry, the 60s, well, 50s and 60s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bill Russell, I mean, he was like one of the first black players to cross over. And he's out there with all like gym teachers and math teachers, like got like just random white dudes off the street. So you drop in a Olympic sprinter that's 7 feet tall. And he's just, it's like dropping a 10-year-old into a pin full of babies with no motor skills.
Oh, he took it a step further. He went from saying a toddler to a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
that's really a big jump.
It is. That's what it was like, though. The man was a 10-time champion, and no one ever talks about it.
But that block.
That block was amazing.
Because he took up so much space. He guarded. He actually guarded a person, helped, and then went back for the block. It was quite amazing. It's one of the best. And I always tell people, I think it's a better play than what LeBron did.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. LeBron's amazing.
LeBron's like a top five block.
Real talk, one of my top five blocks ever, and it doesn't get talked about, was when Kyrie blocked Steph Curry in the finals. Remember that?
Yeah, but it was like two small people. That's why nobody cared.
Yeah, but it was such a clutch block. Like Kyrie came up with a
very
clutch play.
And he's not known for defense.
He's not. That's why I was like, what?
But I don't. Yeah. It was all right.
I've heard Kyrie's not coming back this season. That's the rumors are growing.
The rumor's growing. I don't care.
I heard the Nets are going to put a deadline down, and we already know what Kyrie is going to do. He's going to fold his arms and be like, I'm not going to.
But seriously though, he should hold on. I hope they trade him to LA.
Please, Russ for Kyrie, just do it.
That's what.
Just do it.
Can I be real? I have had dreams. You know, that's all I do is think sleep basketball. I literally had dreams that I'm in a dream and I'm waking up to Russell Westbrook and DeAndre Jordan being traded for Kyrie Irving.
Well, when I think about Anthony Davis and Kyrie, the way Kyrie can penetrate and just handing the ball off to Aiden, flying passes.
Yeah, an erection.
Just straight
choke. Like, it's not fair. It's not fair. That's why it will never happen. That's why I think it's hilarious. But it's funny because after we talked to...
And it's crazy because this is what LeBron pictured when he was in Cleveland with Kyrie. This is the time period where LeBron's, like, getting older, losing, like, his little bit of a grip on the league as being, like, the man. Because Giannis is definitely above him. Yes. Definitely above him.
Absolutely.
And then I still think we got LeBron there at three.
Yeah. You're 2,000% right. I agree. LeBron is actually, as far as rankings go, we're going to get into rankings a little bit later. But as far as rankings goes, totality, as far as players, he is at my fifth best player right now. And I know that's a surprise for you. I think he may even have him higher, if I understand correctly.
Who?
LeBron.
He's your fifth best player? Yeah, I have him on three.
You have him at three. So yeah. I was going to say I have him at the fifth best player.
Who else? So you got, let me guess. So obviously number one, Giannis. Two, Steph. Or those are mix and match right now, really. Luka?
No.
No?
He's like six or seven.
Okay. Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think Kevin's better than LeBron now?
Yes.
Because of LeBron's defense. That's the only thing. Like, he's still a game-changing defender.
I actually think LeBron's a better defender than KD, right? That's what you're saying?
That's why I think he's above KD's, too.
But I think KD's offense is the best I've ever seen. And I saw throughout this.
I think Kevin Durant is the best scorer of all time, hands down.
Yeah, hands down. No, my top five was actually, Steph 1.
Giannis, you know who was 2. Before Kevin Durant?
Who?
Yes. There's only one answer.
It's not Jordan.
There's only one answer.
It was Kobe.
Right? There's only one answer.
Oh, Allen Iverson, really?
Hell yeah, man. He can score on anybody, bro. He can dunk on someone 6 foot. If we're talking about pure scoring, it's Iverson all day.
I can't. The efficiency was so low.
Yo, you try winning a championship with Matt Geiger.
That's true.
George Lynch.
True.
Aaron McKee.
No, he's the greatest.
Eric Snow.
He's the greatest player under 6 foot, hands down.
Tyrone Hill played like 30 minutes a game at like 40 years old on that team.
Yeah. Well, top. Yeah, he did. Ugly looking bat dude.
Ugly looking dude. Looking like a gargoyle and an orc at the same time.
At the same damn time. But no, I'm so sorry. Number one for me was Steph. Two, Giannis. Three, KD, of course. Four was Joker, and then fifth was LeBron.
I get why you have Joker over LeBron, and it's probably true. But at... No, I've seen Joker hit plenty of clutch shots.
No,
I don't know who I'd rather have it than a game.
The one, and let me just tell our listeners this right now. I am very objective. I will always speak the truth. I am always right. And the reason why I'm always right is because when someone tells me or gives me something that contradicts my belief system, I immediately change my opinion. And I'm being totally honest. Joker, honestly, if you want to really argue, him and Durant can sometimes switch on some nights.
No, I literally was just thinking in my head, I might put Joker over Durant when it comes to affecting a game.
Yes, and
if it came down to a last shot, I'll take Durant. If it came down to a fourth quarter, give me the dude that makes his teammates better.
Yeah, exactly. And with Giannis needs more respect. I understand you're probably like, Giannis should be one.
I think Giannis is one after last season.
Yeah, but this season, fam, Steph Curry. And it's not even about his shooting ability. It's about how he just literally pulls the defense to him like a real gravitational force. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. How everybody
Steph Curry, the fear
in their eyes is Steph reminiscent Curry, of Michael Jordan.
Steph Curry affects basketball games more than any other player that has ever played the game of basketball.
Yes.
When you have a guy who can hit from 45%, from three-point land or 40% from three-point land 10 feet behind the three-point line, that is unguardable. That makes an average dribbler an elite dribbler because the lane to the basket is wide open. Those are easy buckets he's creating. So people are saying, no, it sets a bad precedent shooting from that far. If you're making it consistently, it makes your entire team an offensive weapon, no matter how bad they are, no matter how average or below average they are. Any NBA player can hit an open layup.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I give credit. Well, one thing is really funny how people's perspective of the Golden State Warriors, for instance, so we can really segue even to the rankings right now, because they're ranked number one in the NBA rankings. You're going to actually tell me where you're ranked, because you're doing ESPN rankings, right?
Yeah, the power rankings.
The power rankings, yeah.
Let's start the power rankings. So
let's start the power rankings, yeah.
Up at number one on ESPN, we have the Warriors, which I think on both, it's going to be one and two. Suns coming off the best win streak in the NBA. Warriors coming off ending the best win streak in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Against the Suns. So these are obviously one and two right there. Boom, boom, boom. My biggest question, and the craziest thing is, and the thing that's going to separate Golden State, and I think the championship might honestly be locked up with this.
Yes, yes.
If Klay comes back.
I told you. Yeah,
if Klay comes back and he's even three quarters of the player that he was, this team's unbeatable. If they get Wiseman play effective minutes at the center when he comes back, this team is unbeatable.
Man, I honestly think that they will be another dynasty, and I think Steph Curry, because I already have Steph Curry. Spoiler alert, Steph Curry's in my top 10. I think he could even go up higher if he continues to, because I think if, and again, we're going to dive more into this, because I think we have enough time to. I think Klay is coming back for Christmas, I think.
I've heard that, which is my best and favorite Christmas present.
I haven't heard that at all. That's just a feeling. That's just like one of the
I've heard it's feelings. Very close, and so I'm like, oh, yeah,
Christmas. He's doing five-on-fives, and I think, yeah, we can get a good 15 minutes.
I heard he
play.
Hit a game-winning shot in practice the other day.
Yeah, so you've seen pictures of him, right? He's been in really good shape. He looks pretty buff. He looks pretty because like him and Steph have really.
Klay smokes weed, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just he always be looking off. Like,
so chill. He's so relaxed. The shot.
People, sometimes forgets to cut his hair.
Forgets to cut his hair. He just looks happy all the time. He just looks carefree. Always eating chips.
He's like Brad Pitt's character in Ocean's 11.
Yes, absolutely. And to your biggest point, Klay Thompson, the second greatest shooter of all time. You cannot tell me, because real talk, Jordan Poole is better served off the bench. Imagine Jordan Poole coming in to spell Steph Curry.
The emergence of Jordan Poole changes the dynamic of this team. The fact that Wiggins can be just a fourth, just sprinkles on top of the sundae. Just the thing that tops off.
Fair.
The situational defense that his length brings. With Draymond pushing an introvert like him on the court to play harder, play better, it is the perfect Sunday.
This
They're
is
out
why
here
Curry,
slanging.
Steve Kerr needs more credit, man.
He does. He really does.
And I know.
Everyone
I
was
know.
Like, what are y'all doing? Yes. What are y'all doing getting Andrew Wiggins? He saw the big picture. He saw Poole getting better. He saw Klay coming back. He knew, I'm not trading Draymond. I'm not trading the greatest incinerator.
That might be the greatest small team ever.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
The greatest small ball ever. You putting Klay at the four. Because honestly, Klay got bigger. I want people, if you're listening, look at pictures of Klay. He looks Klay has always been a thick kind of guy, kind of like, a little thicker. But now he looks a little bit more. It's more of a grown man thing. People that are over 30 know what I'm talking about. When you're over 30, you get this certain kind of weight. It's got grown man weight. That's and true. It looks like Klay got the grown man weight. His jump shot, and again, not to get all technical, but his jump shot is a very low impact jump shot, meaning like when he jumps, it's not a high point. Very quick off the point of impact. A lot of arm usage. So that means his body weight's not going to affect his jump shot. That's my biggest point. He's going to shoot more effectively. He's going to be able to guard more positions. probably going more of a 2-3-4 garter.
And let's talk about how they're trying to remember the Million Dollar Man? We can make him bigger. We can make him faster.
Yes.
We can make him stronger. Yes. Tell me that the the Warriors aren't getting mad scientist-y and trying to make Jonathan Kuminga the Million Dollar Man, Draymond Green.
Yeah, they're just training him up. No,
they're literally like in the lab, like we're going to make him faster, stronger.
and fam, this goes to your point, which is a point that I love when you bring it up, and I want you to expound upon this more about how teams should really build. When the teams build their teams, their bench should be able to come in and mimic, or not mimic rather, but come in and fill those voids of what's left from the starters.
Yeah, no, that's real. That's the exact same stuff. When you have a system, which system teams off the top of our head, Knicks, any D'Antoni team, Warriors, San Antonio. That what's the reason why San Antonio has never fallen off out of playoff contention, even though they've lost all their Hall of Famers and have never gone. We've never seen that where a team loses all their Hall of Famers, their dynasty, and they never went back to the top of the lottery. It's almost hurt them to the point that they draft to fit their system because they've remained mediocre at the bottom of the playoffs still because they can't get the elite talent to push themselves over the top, and no free agent's going to come to San Antonio.
But they're waiting. They're patiently waiting.
In the wings.
They really are, because that's how they're built. I think, and I hope Greg Popovich really trains his successor to follow his path, because that will make this even a greater story. But, man, to your ultimate point about the Warriors, and again, like, I think it's ingenious because nobody talks about it, because what's going to end up happening, you're going to have Steph Curry at the one, Andrew Wiggins at the two, Klay at the three, Draymond the four, James Wiseman the five. Because right now you have Looney, who is a number two. And I think he's efficient as a number two.
Yeah.
And get
well,
certain.
That's the cool thing about this team. And this is a sign of a championship team and dynasties. Championships and dynasties have iconic role players. Who's more iconic than Young Glove? Gary Payton II, off the bench, the lockdown defender, swag out his mind. He can go off offensively sometimes, but he doesn't need to on this team. And that's what makes – he didn't fit any NBA roster until he got here, because this is what they need. They needed someone different, and he was different. He doesn't belong on any other NBA roster because he can't score on a consistent basis. He can't shoot on a consistent basis. But this is the greatest shooting team of all time. Come on in, defensive stopper.
I think they might be the greatest shooting team, though. I think Klay comes at this team because of Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
Will be the greatest shooting team of all time.
The one with Durant was like Klay, Durant, and Curry.
Oh, yeah. Correction. They will be the second. But James Wiseman can shoot threes.
Yeah. But Andrew Wiggins, this team's deeper.
Yeah.
This is the thing. They've created depth during these Klay injuries. So now with Wiggins, so there's some other people deeper down the bench I've been looking at.
Oh, yes.
This Juan Toscano-Anderson, dude? Dude, this Nemanja Bjelica?
I got a funny
joke. Have you watched him the past couple games?
Yeah, I tell you a funny joke. So, our mutual friend Tracy Quarles, he played basketball for Liberty University, so we have to have him on the show one day, one time. He's actually an avid listener. He said that the Golden State Warriors is a light supremacy. Yeah, it was hilarious. Of course, it was way funny when he said it.
And Draymond's like the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes. But it's funny because you got Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, I can't even say his last name. Say his last name.
Which one? Toscano Anderson?
Thank you, Anderson. That guy, I love his attitude. I love his. And again, they're trying to really create him under Draymond.
Damian Lee's a real dude, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can talk about the Warriors all day.
Yeah. We've spent too much time on the Warriors.
Yeah, Steph Curry, the best in the world.
Yeah. Around there, yeah. All right, so let's talk about the Suns. Let's not spend as much time on the Suns. Have you seen the memes floating around? They're great. They have LeBron on them, and it goes, there's a 37-year-old NBA player that's had the longest winning streak for someone that age. And then LeBron's on the meme, and then it goes, this meme is about Chris Paul. This is just a picture of LeBron.
Yeah, man. It's amazing, man.
It really is.
He's my age. Well, he's my age. So yeah. It's kind of like, oh, wow, this guy's still – I can't play ball no more. I'm looking at him like, oh, wow, he's still at a high level. He's a big part. He's a big part of why this team's amazing. DeAndre Ayton has really stepped into the challenge this season.
The Suns are going to regret not giving him that little bit of extra money. They could have had him a little bit below the max. And he might leave now. Ayton will stay, though. He's smart. He'll stay with Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul going to tell him to stay. So he's gonna stay.
Well, Chris Paul changed his he flipped his career because it was going south.
Yeah.
And now he's like an elite big.
Absolutely. And also
he was on his way to being a bust. Let's not lie.
He was going his way to being a bust, but I think Chris Paul saved his career. You're absolutely right. That's what he did for DeAndre Jordan, too. That's
what he did for Tyson Chandler as well.
Tyson Chandler. He got to speak more and give Chris Paul his flowers, because even though he's not a top five point guard
It's the Jason Kidd, bro. It's the Jason Kidd effect. His players have had career years.
I almost take Jason Kidd over Chris Paul, but I think Chris Paul is better than Jason Kidd, but I would take Jason Kidd over
Chris Paul. Chris Paul is better than Jason Kidd, and you know how much that kills me to say that.
You said Chris Paul is better than Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I agree, but I would still take Jason Kidd over
Chris Paul. That kills me inside to say that, because I love fighting for Jason Kidd.
Does that make sense, though? I agree with you, but I'll still take Jason Kidd over Chris Paul in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I really
mean that. Yeah, no, and Jason Kidd just had more swag.
Yeah. But my last comment, I think Devin Booker I think we always said this before, I think Devin Booker is the new Kobe apparent.
Also, I think Elfrid Payton is the perfect third guard to have behind Chris Paul. Because once again, creator,
yeah,
can hit that little mid-range. It's parts of being able to drop someone in and be able to not change the offense.
Cam Payne's coming back to earth.
He is. He's still a good sub for them, though.
He's not as bad as they said he was, but he's not as good as we thought it was from last year. Looking at him like he's like a meh.
But he might be one of those role players who shows up in the playoffs, which is invaluable for a championship squad. So.
That is invaluable. So, okay, I'm done with them. Are you got anything else?
I would like to say that some nights Mikal Bridges looks like the second best scorer on this team.
That pisses me off, man. Don't bring that up, man. That pisses me off, man. No, because I think I look at the 76ers. No, we have to talk more about their deficient and their just stupidity.
Yeah.
Because they gave up Mikal Bridges. They gave up so many players that they couldn't.
He went to Villanova, right?
Yes. Not only that,
he gave up the hometown kid fresh out of Philly.
No, it's deeper than that, Wood. His mother works for the 76ers.
Oh, that's cold.
And it's even deeper because they drafted him and then traded him. And then the player they traded him for isn't even playing anymore. I don't even know who it was. Was it Ira Smith? Can't even remember.
That's real.
That's my team. So I was pretty upset. You know, we lost out Jason Tatum. We have to talk about their deficiency. The 76ers look like straight trash. Come on, guys.
Because they don't have the depth and they're honestly. Their most game-affecting player decided not to play this year. Like, Joel Embiid is their best player. But Ben Simmons, the way he creates shots, and his defense affects games so much outside the box score.
Ironically, he is an underrated defender. Ironically.
Which is crazy, because everyone knows he's like a defensive player of the year candidate.
Yeah, but he's really underrated. You should have actually got it.
He's the best defender in the league.
He probably is the best defender in the year. We gotta think more on that, but I'm not pushing back.
Like Draymond, it was Draymond, and now it's.
To be honest, it was never Draymond. We can discuss that.
I'll fight to the death for Draymond.
We'll fight. I know
it wasn't one on one defense. It was mental, physical. It was all aspects of defense.
Well, nah, man. I think he's top five all time mental defender.
Yeah,
but I think I don't know if. Any year he's been in the league, he's been the best defender.
He's literally won Defensive Player of the Year.
One time, right?
I think twice.
How? No.
Because he's one of the best defenders of all time.
I don't believe it. You could have won it twice.
How many times has he won it?
Once.
Okay. He was like second.
And it was 2007. Like and it was 2017. Was that the first year that they got Kevin Durant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's and again with these awards, it's really where the media feels. Because even that year, I actually liked Kawhi better than him.
Let's not drift back to the Warriors though. We can talk about Draymond.
I know. You started it.
I did. I'm sorry. But Mikal Bridges is the guy that if they're going to win the title, pushes them over the top. He has to be outstanding in the playoffs.
I actually took him for granted. When I saw him on Steph the other night, that was scary. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, he did pretty good. Now, Steph was a little off that night, but I was like, was it because Steph was off or was it
it's
because
the length. It's the length. If you now these guys are just getting bigger and lankier and faster. Now you got fast dudes with like real long arms playing against Steph. Like it's tough. It's tough out here for the little dudes, man. But the Suns will be back in the playoffs just like we thought. My best call of last season, by far. I called the Suns last season to be as high as a fourth seed going in the playoffs. Preseason, before anybody. Yeah, man, I don't mean to honk my own horn, but that one's worth honking. Brooklyn Nets, they're starting to be better, more consistent. In their last few games... Well, let's talk about, because the Bulls are right underneath them. The Bulls are number four. I personally don't see how you put out a list for power rankings.
Yeah.
With the Nets over the Bulls when the Bulls beat them last night.
Yeah.
they just put it out today.
Yeah.
Like, what?
But I still probably would agree.
Would you?
Now it's funny we're talking about this. Now, again, you're looking at ESPN's power ranking. I'm looking at mine. On mine, the Nets are the sixth best.
Yeah.
On mine.
Well, let's look at this roster, right? Let's look at it. So, Patty Mills, one of the most underrated signings of the offseason, essential. Do I wonder sometimes if Spencer Dinwiddie would have been better? Yes. But Patty Mills, great signing. Bruce Brown, he's playing well. Good, he's a good role player, you know, plug and play guy. We could put 9 million guys in that position. They play well with the people they're playing against. LaMarcus Aldridge, that is the guy that if this team is going to win the finals, that the Nets are going to have to lean on. And Melvin, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this, and you're going to get mad. You're going to get mad. I would rather have Jared Allen on this team than James Harden.
I can't argue against you after watching him play the other night. It was very embarrassing. He embarrassed me the other night.
I'm not even talking about the way James Harden's playing now. We can get to that. I'm talking about the way Jared Allen is developing. This man's turned into a top five NBA center.
I think he is. Yeah. He might be a top four center in the league.
He's great defensively. He racks up rebounds, and he gets tough buckets.
Yeah. He does what a center's supposed to do in his defensive. Yeah. To be honest with you, next to him and Ayton is a coin flip. I might even take Jared Allen over Ayton. Now, again, we can argue that, but that's just speaking how good Jared Allen has been this season.
And I know this is insane stuff that I just said. And I know James Harden is a better basketball player than Jared Allen.
Oh, and by the way, to clarify, I don't agree with you. I'm keeping James Harden.
No, you're sane. That's fine. Yeah. I've developed an undeniable crush on Jared Allen. Yeah. James Harden, at the end of the day, better basketball player than Jared Allen. But here's my thoughts. James Harden still thinks he's a top three NBA player, and he's not.
He's not even a top 10.
He's lost a step, just flat up. So flat up, straight up, just lost a step.
You know, I don't think he cares no more. I think he's with Lil Baby too much.
Yeah. He wants to be a rapper.
He'd be a good rapper. Good rap name, Beard. I like
it. Yeah. He's already got the strip club presence.
Yes. And he looks like Rick Ross. He's gained some weights.
He looks like Rick Ross' next diet.
By the way, put a pin in this at the end. I'm going to tell you that's the album you got to listen to. This it comes out this Friday. And I don't care. That's what I'm saying. I've spoken.
I'll listen to it. We'll do a Rick Ross album review.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
What's this one? We'll save it. Oh.
Pears. Pears.
But yeah, James Harden's lost a step straight up. I don't think there's much more to talk. And Blake Griffin, just retire.
He should retire.
Right?
He looks like a cheerleader on the sideline. Looks horrible. I think it's embarrassing.
He's starting to look more and more like Chris Humphries.
Yeah, it's the damn Kardashians,
man. Just standing over there to the side. Oh yeah, he dated Kendall too, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh no, he's toxic too. He punched the trainer.
Yes, he's toxic. Yes.
Kardashians, stop picking these toxic men.
Real talk, Katie's next.
What?
KD's gonna be next. I'm speaking it to existence. KD will be. He's
too
ugly.
You heard the rumors of who KD knocked up, right?
The porn star.
Yeah, Lana Rhodes or whatever her name is.
Yeah, but he's KD.
And she's keeping the baby. She refuses to say who the dad is, which means dollar bills. Yeah.
These guys are dumb.
So dumb.
Real talk, yo. This is gonna sound like mad disrespectful.
I mean, with eyes like her.
If I was rich, Woody, I'm being dead, and you know me, Woody. Like, I'm being serious. If I was,
I get a
rich,
vasectomy.
I would. 100%. Oh my god! You know me so well.
The same day we won the lottery, bro. Day. We can go together.
Vasectomy. Just give me a really, give me a good strong knockout. Just knock me out really strong.
Tie them suckers up.
Tie it, and for them guys that get, and guess what? Because guess what?
You
could
get it reversed.
Yeah.
And you could even do a backup plan, like just freeze the boys. Just in case something goes wrong, you can't get it reversed.
No, there's no excuse. So let's just clarify this. If you're rich.
Now they have this thing. Have you seen this thing that they came out with? They have this thing, which the scientists made. It's like a little ball jacuzzi. You put your balls in it for 3 minutes. And it's supposed to sterilize you for like 8 hours.
Huh.
Now, Lord knows there's some crazy lawsuit that's going to come down the bend when someone actually gets sterilized for life or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But still, I'd rather do that than get a thought pregnant. If I was rich, I'm not getting married and I'm getting a vasectomy.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's move on past the Nets. The Nets, let's talk about the Bulls. I'd rather have the Bulls. I'd rather have the Bulls roster.
Okay, and also, by the way.
Am I stupid for saying that?
No, but yes.
Because they have Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so then, like, you can say that, and you know, I'm a Lonzo stan. I'm a Lonzo fan.
I love the way these boys work together up top. The three, it's my, honestly, Mel, this is going to sound insane. I know this is like hot take Monday, but Lonzo, DeMar, and our boy Zach LaVine are my favorite 1-3 combo I think I've ever watched. I'm not saying they're the best.
I'm so mad you said that. Just from the perspective that, again, let me reiterate that Lonzo Ball is my current favorite player. And even I will say, I don't like that.
Really?
Zach LaVine irritates me sometimes, even though he's so good. DeMar DeRozan actually some nights be looking like Michael Jordan. And I really mean that. People are like, oh, what are you talking about? No, the mid-range, is that mid-range game is that real? Is that legit? He has, after Kevin Durant, of course. Kevin Durant don't count. Kevin Durant's something different. He's an alien. But after Kevin Durant, he has the best mid-range game in the NBA.
Yeah, after Chris Paul.
No. And that's a real discussion for another.
That's a good discussion for
now. But guess what? Over time, Chris Paul is best all time.
Yeah.
Mid-range game.
But now.
Right now.
Okay.
DeMar DeRozan.
I can deal
with that. It's probably the best. His mid-range is like when he gets in the mid-range, he's making it like every time. It's kind of like weird. It looks weird. Yeah. This is the best he's ever looked right now.
No, it's true. You know, ESPN has DeMar listed as a power forward.
Yeah, he's playing power forward this year.
Yeah, I know.
Because AC's coming, and his AC starts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which goes to my biggest point about the Bulls. They can be some. They can make real noise in the playoffs. They are a trade away. Believe it or not, they're a Wendell Carter Jr. away.
Listen, so man that we had on the podcast, Mr. BOC, Mr. Bulls himself, he sends me this in my inbox the other day. I'm going to read it to you. I want to know what your thoughts are. He goes, he sends me an NBA trade machine, because this is how much of a basketball stand he is. He's just working away on the NBA trade machine.
Yeah, you know, it's NBOC, the god. That's the guy.
Wendell Carter Jr., Michael Carter Williams, for Kobe White, and Troy Brown Jr. Would you do this if you are the Magic? I would. Because he got too many centers. Now with Franz Wagner and Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
That's it, you know.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's actually riches.
Because and Kobe White's another dude to add to that backcourt.
Yeah. And I think Mo Bamba needs to go to another team. Because I think he's a starter.
He'd be such a good piece on a good basketball team.
Yeah. I mean, don't get it twisted. I think Orlando Magic is better for them to keep him as a backup. But yeah, let's be real.
As he's an a starter asset, in the league. He's a starter on a good basketball team.
I think Adam Silver would rather him go to another team. We have to really continue to spread the talent.
Yeah.
In the NBA, we can't just keep Hort. I mean, they're a great field team or a great what's those things you call them, Woody? What's those
filler team?
Not a filler team, man. It was just training teams, field the teams,
D-League team.
They're like a D-League team. They're like a, really a, farm, a, no, a farm team. They're like a farm team, man. That's all they do is build talent. Team,
yeah.
They got so much talent for no reason that don't work together. They just need to just give all. It up.
Yo, what's did we ever think Cole Anthony was going to be this good? He's almost averaging like 20 points a game. No way, bro. I thought he'd be a middling, like, off-the-bench guy.
Yeah. No, I mean,
he's just like his daddy.
No, that's what he is on a good team, but he's not on a good team.
He's averaging 20 points a game.
Yeah, he has to. He's the guard. He's the facilitator of a team, which means he has the ball in his hand. He makes the most decisions. He makes decisions, which means he's going to shoot the most.
I like his fight.
No, he's a good player. Again, he is more of a Mario Chalmers type player on a championship team.
Yeah.
He's better than Mario Chalmers, though. I'm not saying Mario Chalmers.
No, he definitely is.
I'm saying he's a. That's the role.
Mario Chalmers may not think that.
No, Mario Chalmers won't. He will. He does not think that at all. No. He is very upset. But no. Let's move. Bulls. Yeah, move on. You said the Bulls was third, right?
Third. I'd swap the Bulls and the Nets right now, just because I like.
Well, no, like I said, on the thing, ranking, I'm looking at, they're fourth.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd swap.
And they're high. And they're higher than the Nets, which is right. They're better than the Nets. They're better than the Nets.
They are, as a team.
Yeah.
The Durant is better than any player on the Bulls, but as a team collective,
Bulls are a better team.
Like in a series,
yeah,
Bulls will win.
But guess what?
Right
guess
now,
what? DeMar DeRozan is better than James Harden right now. Zach LaVine's better than whoever you think there's third.
Zach
best
LaVine's
is.
Better than James Harden right now.
What? Yeah, Zach LaVine's better than James Harden right now.
James Harden is still an above average facilitator. He's lost the speed of closing out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Milwaukee Bucks. I say we put a pin in this because I think towards the end of the season they'll be a top three team. Giannis has sat out back-to-back games with a calf injury. That's fine that they're five right now.
Well, actually, on my list, they're three.
Okay.
After it's Warriors, Suns, then the Bucks. Now, the thing about the Bucks that we have to talk a little tiny bit about is just Giannis's evolution into how to manage a game. Like he has that LeBron freedom in his eyes where he's kind of like, yeah, I'm that guy. I just won a championship. I'm just playing free. I am letting the game come to me. I am just going to do what I want to do. I am just better than most people most nights. But we're just in the storm right now. I guess they're trying to weather the storm rather. Like, that's the feel I'm getting from Giannis. That's why I said, like, Giannis and Steph can kind of go 1-2. But Giannis, man, if he, like you said before, earlier in this podcast, like, if he wins a championship, he is a top 10 player.
All time.
All
but
time.
Yeah, this is why I want to talk about the Bucks another day, because I want to give them the time they deserve. Like, the way we talk about the Warriors up top, we should be talking about the Bucks that way.
I agree.
Bobby Simmons is like Kobe's special needs cousin.
That's funny. That's hilarious. That's good. Yeah, Middleton, man, it reminds me of like Kobe from his third
Middleton, year. That's what I meant. Yeah. I'm sorry. I said Bobby
Simmons. No, I know who you meant. Middleton from his third year reminds me of Kobe. He's as good as Kobe's third year. Which says a lot about Kobe. Consider that Middleton's like in his eighth year, but he's as good as Kobe his third, fourth year, easy. Maybe even better.
You remember the dude that I just mixed him up with? Bobby Simmons?
Yeah, I do.
I remember when he started just averaging 15 for the Spurs out of nowhere?
Out of nowhere, but I saw it coming because of his skill set.
I get them mixed up all the time for some reason.
That's hilarious. I don't know why.
Yeah, because they were the same player when they started, like 3-and-D, jump shooter, really elite defender.
And I would say elite mid-range shooters.
Yeah. Chris has really developed his game.
Yeah.
He's top 20 player now.
Top 25.
That's where it is. I'd say around top 20. He made big shots in the finals.
Yeah, I'm saying right now. You know, a lot of good players.
Utah Jazz, one of my favorite teams to watch. Probably my second favorite basketball team. Did you know that?
That's hilarious.
It's like the Knicks and Jazz.
I don't care nothing about them.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what it is. One, I like jazz music, so that helps. I always thought it was funny when I was a kid before I found out. I love Donovan Mitchell, yeah. Jordan Clarkson, ex-Laker. Mike Conley, one of my favorites. The Stifle Tower, you know, I get horny for defense.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I just don't like him. I actually, after everybody you mentioned, I like, what's guy's name? Oh my God, what's his name? Pringle. No, that's Pringle.
Bogdanovich?
No.
Bogdan like Bogdanovich, yeah.
No, the other white guy. Pringle, not Pringle. What is his name?
I'm looking at the roster now.
That is so embarrassing. I don't know his name.
It's cool. You didn't call Chris Middleton Bobby Simmons, which is also, what's his name's, the rapper.
Smyrna?
No. B.O.B.
Oh, man, I miss him, man. He disappeared.
He was like a stupid Andre 3000.
Joe Ingles. I love Joe Ingles. I'm a Joe Ingles.
Yeah, Joe Ingles.
Who low-key, I think, leads the Jazz in three-point makes.
Yeah, of course he does. With a name like Joe Ingles.
I am a big Joe Ingles guy.
Once again, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this Jazz team because they have been the number one seed in the West like twice in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they're right there. They're on the precipice, but they got to prove they can do it in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't care about them.
The one thing I think this year may be a difference is that international basketball play, Rudy was leaned on for the first time. And we've seen that have an effect on players and taking it to the next level. Rudy might have learned how to take it up to the next level in the playoffs. And if Rudy can take it up to the next level in the playoffs, then the Jazz can make some noise.
The Jazz will definitely lose in the second round.
I think they will too. But I hope not. Miami Heat. This team, it's just a little banged up. They're going to get better and better as the season goes on. I don't think there's a lot to say here.
Now, there's nothing to talk about. I think they already are. I think Tyler Hero already kind of anointed himself the sixth man of the year. Actually, because of the injuries, he's been starting a little bit more.
Yeah, Bam Adebayo is going to have thumb surgery, but he'll be back. So they're going to struggle a little bit.
Yeah, it sucks because they started out so strong. We thought at the beginning they might be a champion.
Honestly, though, that's where Jimmy's teams belong. They sneak in the playoffs at like the seventh seed, and then he just looks up at the number one seed and says, fuck you, and takes him out first round.
That's such a Jimmy Bucket thing to do, man.
Yo, Jimmy with the braids is so much cooler. He looks so much harder out there.
He really does, man.
Like, he looked like a young dude with his hair all flared up before, and now he looks He looked like, I'm like, all right, now Jimmy looks tough. It matches his mentality.
Exactly.
Wizards are at 8. I'm surprised they're still here, man. Maybe they make the playoffs.
I think we talked about it before. I said that they might make the playoffs. They might. They're definitely going to make the play-in.
Yeah, they're definitely going to make the play-in. But I'm talking about, like, really making the playoffs.
They might be a 5 seed. Yeah. They keep playing this well, man.
Well, the Sixers keep sucking.
Yeah, they got to bite the bullet, man.
This is the swing teams in the East.
Right? They have to bite the bullet. And again, we're going to save this for when Mr. Dillon come on. When, you know, yeah. Dills come on, man, about my Ben Simmons dream. And I'm going to talk to you about that because, in essence, they need to get rid of him. And I know they're trying to be prideful. They're trying to say,
no, he's doing the right thing. Maury's doing it's beyond pride now. This team is at a point where the franchise could, if they make the wrong deal, they could go down. They need to wait out the right deal.
I agree with that, but I also feel like the right deal is there. And they need to push that deal. And again, I'm going to say that for another
Jeremy day. Grant is not the right deal.
Hell no. I'm not even talking about the Thunder. Never.
No, that's Detroit. Worse than Thunder.
Yeah. No, there's nobody on Detroit that's appealing.
Yeah. All right, we're going to touch on the top 10 here, and then we'll look at on the next episode. We'll go deeper down into the list. But Memphis Grizzlies are at number 10. Boston's at 11. So we talk about them in twos because it's give or take those teams, like where they should be. Memphis,
Boston's right where they are.
I love Memphis, and I love how tough they're being without Ja Morant. This is the sign of a young, good team. I love these baby Bears, these baby Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. Ja Morant, when he went out, I was wondering how this team would respond. Jaren Jackson Jr., playing much better, playing tougher. He stepped up. You got these out-of-nowhere guards stepping up. Like Dylan Brooks the other night, he goes scoring 28, scored like 2 the next night. Because they got other guards coming off the bench making a difference. I think they're installing a good system. I think Steven Adams was the right choice to free up the flow of this young offense. And Jonas Valanciunas was bogging it down as he did in Toronto. Let's talk about Jonas Valanciunas. I love the guy. I love him because you love a big plodding white big who gets his buckets because it's classic basketball. We're old, Melvin, because let's be real. Every team that Jonas Valanciunas has left has got better.
Yeah, they have. So it's good to
hear. Toronto, championship, Memphis, next step.
Yeah. Hey,
let's wash our hands clean. Like, let's be real.
Because, again, man, and we're going to talk more about this in other episodes going forth about like, my perspective on basketball and like, how it's evolved. You know, the players, like, and again, he shot us. He's been shooting the three ball amazingly. That's something you didn't bring up about Mr. Jonas.
Yeah.
And again, that's not even the best aspect of what he's been doing these last couple of games because he has been having a great season. It's been the three ball, which I think has that really surprised me from the perspective that he's has to succumb to the pressure. Like, in order for me to continue to exist in the NBA, a la Tristan Thompson, who's going to have to retire soon, I got to get a little jump shot. I got to be able to spread the defense out. I have to be an asset on the floor, which again speaks to the greatness of Steph Curry. I'm sorry. I had to drop Steph Curry in again.
Yeah. That's real. Boston Celtics are right behind him. Boston surging. This Boston team, I've been waiting for them to get better. We knew they were. But I don't know. They got to trade Jaylen Brown. They've gotten better with Jaylen Brown being out, right?
They have to trade Jaylen Brown.
I love Jaylen Brown. I love who he is. I love how intelligent he is. I love how articulate he is.
That's why you have to trade him, though. I think like, it's time.
Immediately, Tatum's become better. I think there's a legit wedge between these dudes. They do not talk to each other when they leave the court.
I don't think it's a wedge, but I feel like there's a correlation that they can't play together.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault. I feel as though that Jason Tatum is of the school of Kobe. Ironically, even though earlier I did say Devin Booker has kind of taken that mantle for me as that next Kobe, as far as the people in the Kobe camp, if Jason Tatum, these last couple of games, has really shown me something, him being like actually a little bit younger. I believe he's a little bit younger than Devin Booker as well. Also taller, 6'8", 6'9", longer, got a higher shooting three-point. gets more rebounds, has a more effect in the defensive end. Honestly, Jason Tatum, if you talk about him, look at him, he's more of a guy that's like, oh, that's a Kobe-esque type player.
And this
so
is,
without Jaylen Brown, I can see him taking that next step, you know.
And what we've seen with Jaylen Brown missing some games here, Al Horford can play that point forward position at the top of the key that makes teams a lot harder to guard.
Yes.
Like, it's a special skill that they should be taking advantage of. And when you got Jaylen Brown, it's hard to take advantage of that.
It is. And he's actually on the low, he's actually a real ball dominant type player.
He is.
When the ball gets to him, he's either scoring or throwing it back to the top.
I really don't understand why Philly and Boston won't discuss a Ben Simmons for. I guess there's no way Boston touches Ben Simmons. One, that talent to eat him alive. Two, the Kyrie situation. They're not going to pick him up. And the funny thing is,
Ben would love to give the ball to Jason Tate.
All right, this is a good way to close out basketball talk.
Yes.
Jaylen Brown trade. Off the top of your head. Anywhere he fits. A swap. You see anything?
Give me.
I'll tell you what. If I'm the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm throwing like three firsts for Jaylen.
Oh, to get
Jaylen. You got Jaylen SGA. Boom, and Giddy.
Yeah, that's great. That's great for the Thunder. I'm actually thinking about Jaylen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's great for Boston too. Because they can, what they need right now is depth.
The smart thing is you're right. I'm trying to think of a team for Jaylen to really shine and really do great for narratives. Because him playing with the Thunder is disgusting. I don't like that. Jaylen Brown's a pretty good player. I think he can really look good. Maybe Denver Nuggets. Somehow Denver Nuggets went and got him.
Who on the Spurs?
Maybe the Spurs. They got Walker. And they could throw Walker and the one guy in there. The point guard.
Because I think Jaylen is so smart that he would be really good in Papa's system.
Yeah, he seems like a Popovich type guy too.
He does. He'd definitely be invited to the wine parties.
Yeah, he takes criticism well.
He's intelligent.
So. Intelligent, yeah. So he plays pretty intelligent. He got great athleticism. I think Poppers love him.
All right, so
Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, here's a trade for you. Derek White, Thad Young, Lonnie. No, they're not going to trade. Well, maybe they will. Derek White, Thad Young, Lonnie Walker. Or how about this? Derek White, Thad Young, and a first. I'm doing that if I'm Boston, right? That makes your team better.
No, I would do that. I think that's fair for everybody around, which is why.
And I'd love to see what Jaylen Brown and Deontay Murray do.
Which is why he won't do it, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he'll do it just from the perspective that he always wants to come out on top and be known as a guy that does something. You know,
Danny Ainge?
Yeah, Danny.
Danny Ainge isn't with the team anymore. Now it's Brad Stevens.
So now it's solely Brad now.
Yeah, Brad runs the show. Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, then Brad should do that, Dan.
But the problem is Brad loves intelligent. I feel like Brad wants Jaylen Brown to be his guy, and it's just hard for him to accept that Jason Tatum's his guy.
Actually, it's funny. I think a few months ago I told you, before we even started doing this podcast, I actually thought they should trade Jason Tatum.
Yeah, told you no.
Yeah, you said no. I said Jason Tatum because I feel like you get way more assets back.
Yeah, but Jason Tatum has top five talent. Run that back in your head, what I just said. Jason Tatum has top five talent.
Yeah. Like I said before, I think as far as the people from the Kobe school of play, he's the one I thought, even though, like I said, Devin's the guy, but this kid, Jason Tatum, as far as length, scoring ability, shooting, location, like he's a great, great player, man. So, yeah, he has top five potential, but I don't know. Maybe he got too much Kobe in him.
Well, that's going to wrap up our basketball talk today, Mel. Now, we obviously have our outstanding homework assignments. I've dived a little into it. We're not going to touch on it this episode. We'll do it next episode. Our Red Man, Method Man homework. But you got Meth, I got Red. You add something else, a new one we had to add in the mix today. What is it?
Yeah, man, I wanted you to listen to From the Bayou, Birdman, and Young Boy Never Broke Again.
I've listened to that album before, and I have no desire to listen to it again. I'm good, man. Birdman was not a good rapper. He was really bad.
Nah, I'm joking. I knew he was going to say no. Nah, listen to this Friday, a new Rick Ross, richer than I ever been coming out. Man, listen to that, man.
Can we go over with... What's up with Rick Ross's album titles? Rich Forever? Die Rich?
He wanna let y'all know he rich. He wanna let you know that no matter what happens in his life, he's rich. I feel
like Rick Ross is like, he talks about his money like a dude who's embarrassed about being gay talks about how he's straight.
Yeah, I feel you.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense because yeah. But he has to be rich because he got on Wingstops.
I bet he has good money, but he seems like he spends an awful lot.
But he does mow his own lawn.
Yeah, and he doesn't run the water through the fountains very much. Mm. Or anything. Like, I'm just wondering.
Mm, that's serious. Yeah. But nah, man. Nah, we're gonna talk again. I think for music, we're gonna dive into Red Man and Meth next week, right? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, my wife might need to spend like a good 20 minutes on that.
Yeah, my wife actually threw up an idea of like who was better, Ghostface or Meth.
Meth.
I thought that was, well, I actually was
disrespectful. Ghostface, here's my thing.
I was Ghostface, thinking maybe Ghostface.
Ghostface is iconic because his flow is more original. But Meth is a better rapper.
Well, we got to think about albums.
We're talking again, bar to bar, you know, bar for bar. Yeah. It's
let's not. I can talk about this all. Let's not dive yet.
Yeah, so we can go over the whole clan. Yes, can talk about the TV show.
The TV show is amazing. Best thing on TV.
Now, who's better, Ghostface or Ghostface 2.0 Action Bronson?
It's Ghostface.
Is it?
Action's still really Ghostface. Good. No, Action's amazing. Shout out to Action Bronson, man. He's amazing. I think he's great. I just think Ghostface was like,
I've seen Action live twice. No, three times now. It's crazy. Four times, actually. It's crazy the transformation. Because you know I was back on Action. What was it?
Yeah.
2010, 11? Or, yeah, I think it was 11.
10.
9. Yeah, right around there. Before anybody had heard of him.
Before anybody.
Because he did a random song with Riff Raff that I found on YouTube. I'm like, yo, look at these dudes.
Yeah, he thought it was wild. Called
Blackbirds or something like that. You look it up. The beat was fire.
That's wild. And,
so I started listening to him. I was into it. And then I ended up moving back out to Cali after college. And he came through the OC Observatory. And the OC Observatory is like a pretty known venue down in Orange County. Mm-hmm. And they have a big room and a little room for performances. Little room, you can fit like 100. Maybe 100 people. Big room, you can fit like 1,000.
Yeah.
So I saw Action with my boy and his dad, who's like a big hip hop head, and in the room with the little room, because no one heard about him yet. And there was only 7 people showed up. And he's like, so I'm going to join you, passing around everyone while just rapping for like 7 people. And he's got such a big personality, but he still brought it. Like, I knew he was a showman. I knew he was going to be big by the way he treated the 7 people and performed for them. Mm-hmm. Like, he gave them their money's worth. Flash forward a year later, he comes back to the observatory again, sold out, 1,000 crowd.
Yeah. That's his work ethic. But I was going to tell you that's something I'm going to dive into this week. So I say you listen to Rick Ross on... I'm gonna listen to Rick Ross regardless, but I say listen to Rick Ross on Friday. But I'm gonna listen to Action Bronson discographies against Ghostface discographies.
Okay, that'll be the next assignment: Action versus Ghostface. All right. Well, Mel, that did it. And you excited about that Lecrae album coming?
Lecrae. Hallelujah.
He ain't no humble tip.
Nah, I ain't Humble Tip. Shout out Humble Tip, but nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. I don't need that marketed church rap.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even think like Cray's like Christian in real life.
Nah, he's contemporary or something.
Yeah.
Something like
I'm that. Spiritual.
I'm spiritual. Yeah. Spiritual.
He dates a Sagittarius.
Yeah. He has Hotep. That's all he is.
All right, Mel. That's gonna wrap us up here at the Meliwood Show. We're gonna leave it at that. We're not even gonna change the name. You just get used to it. That's gonna wrap us up over here. As always, if you like the NBA show, check out our football show. It's me, CJ, Brandon, and Brandon is like our Rain Man. He runs the site footballscout365.com. If you want any insider info on betting, Brandon nailed the draft this year. Pretty much everyone he said was going to be great was great. We're putting out a lot of draft content. I just put out a draft scout video with Brandon on YouTube. Check out Football Scout 365's YouTube channel on Kenny Pickett, the number one overall quarterback prospect from Pittsburgh in the draft. We also did Hutchinson and Thibodeau, the top defensive end prospects from Michigan and Oregon. So there's two videos out there to check that out. But yeah, that's it for me and Mel over here. Check out the 5toolsports.com, the number 5toolsports.com, and Instagram. And then, we'll talk to y'all next week.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of...